Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest tonight is BJ Traveler, an Asian gentleman who travels the world playing blackjack and other casino promotions. We'll be talking to BJ in a few minutes. The Revel in Atlantic City is offering a promotion where your losses in July up to $100,000 are rebated 100% in 20 equal weekly increments beginning in early August. Last week on the air, Munchkin and I made a $200 bet as to whether the Revel would go through this promotion. I've heard from trusted sources that $25 video poker machines have been removed from the casino, but they still have large denomination slot machines, so it is still a very profitable play. But players are becoming aggravated by this. The casino is doing this promotion in order to create some buzz about the place, and pissing players off isn't the right way to create the buzz. What is your thoughts about this, Munchkin?
Well, they advertised gamblers wanted. It sounds like what they really meant was grinders wanted. I think they are not happy with the big play. And actually, regarding our bet, Bob, I received a text last night that said, "It would appear you have won your Revel bet. They have gone crazy deactivating cards and or stealing comps," which is exactly, by the way, what I said they would be doing. "They are also accusing people of betting via agents, even if all you're doing is helping someone play video poker straight up. The place was fairly empty today." So, I don't know.
It does sound like I have lost the bet. Good luck in collecting. No, that's not going to be a problem.
You did make it to July 2nd.
Did make it to July 2nd, maybe. So, although we're not going to announce on the air who sent Munch that text, I do know that person and believe he is a legitimate observer, a reputable observer. And so unless we get a lot of contradicting evidence to the contrary, which I'm not expecting, Munchkin is $200 richer. All right. Also in Atlantic City, on September 1st, the day before Labor Day, the Taj Mahal is giving away $200,000 by burying sacks in the sand. Apparently, 20 players are picked at random from whoever is playing with their card inserted at a particular time of day. I don't have the note in front of me, but let's say it's 1 p.m. These players will be told where to dig the burlap sack with a voucher in it. And once they discover that voucher, they take it to the cage, and it is redeemed. And if it's somebody else digs it up, not one of those 20, I suspect the voucher will not be redeemed. So it's not quite like burying cash. Now, if they have 2,000 machines there, and I don't know how many they have, you have a 1 in 2,000 chance, and a $200,000 promotion means your EV is $100. So you probably have to be actively playing, which means you've played a hand in the last 30 seconds. It's a decent low roller play. Everybody has the same minuscule chance, and players who don't play a lot receive the same chances as somebody who does play a lot. Now, it's not a promotion I'm going to go for. I want to play in promotions where I do have a bigger chance if I play a lot. I suspect there will be some fights. It's possible all 2,000 machines will be full, And some of the people just sitting there doing nothing, waiting for that 1 o'clock magic hour or 30 seconds before 1 o'clock. And some non-people who don't have a seat will be claiming that if they were there, they would actually play. And so that gives them a moral right to the machine, where these sitters have an immoral right. And so there will be, wouldn't surprise me, there's some fisticuffs. New York, New Jersey players are not known for their politeness at times like this. It's also the Taj. This is a very public Atlantic City beach. I don't know how they're going to keep other players off. They will have guards around. But if you're on the beach, you have a right to be anywhere you want on the public beach. So just because Taj guards say don't go there, I don't know that you're legally required not to go there. Although they will be kind of big guards.
You know, when I first read the article, I didn't go get all the details. But, of course, thinking like an advantage player, my first thought was, oh, we just need to have guys stake out the beach all night long and watch where they bury the money, right? And then, of course, they came up with this harebrained idea that you actually have to be playing a slot machine to qualify to go find the money.
And it gives us no chance at all. And apparently, if you get shovel number 17, you get a particular plot number. And if you can't find it in that plot, they will tell you where to dig.
So it's just a big waste of time. Why don't they just give people the money?
I agree. It's supposed to be. I was thinking it was all comers, and you were going to have 3,000 people with shovels out there on a small area of the beach.
Now, I'd pay to watch that.
Oh, I would watch it from a distance. I do not. This would go to the youngest and strongest and ones who didn't mind a shovel gash every now and then.
You'd make a game show out of it.
And if I grabbed the bag and some guy who 40 years younger and 50 pounds of muscle heavier and he wants the bag, he's probably going to get it. I don't know. I'm not going. I take it you're not going to go to it.
No, Atlantic City doesn't sound like a good place to be this summer.
All right. So we got another email at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com from a blackjack player who sometimes dabbles in video poker. He wants to know what happens if you hit a jackpot at video poker and you don't tip the casino workers. So he thought a $4,000 Royal Flush jackpot was pretty big. And what would happen if somebody had the nerve not to tip? And what actually happens is nothing. There are always players who stiff casino workers every day on jackpots of that size in considerably larger jackpots. If you ask 10 players on their tipping strategy, you're going to get 10 different answers. There is no one right answer of always do a tenth of a percent or always do 2% or something. I tend to not tip at all, except at casinos where I'm teaching. I want the casino workers to promote the classes or at least not to badmouth me. So I don't want casino workers to tell everybody what a cheapskate I am. So I will tip in those casinos.
And what would you tip on a $4,000 Royal? Not that you play that low, but...
The game I play at South Point, which is where I play, you can get $1,200 W2Gs. And so probably anything under $10,000 would be a $5 tip. $20,000, which would happen on dealt aces with a kicker, would probably be a $20 tip. $40,000, which would be a dealt royal in my dreams, that would probably be a $30 or $40 tip. And these would be considered on the low side, but acceptable. So Rita Rudner, who's a comedian here in Vegas, has a great philosophy on tipping. She says she doesn't really know how much to tip, so she gives them some money, and if they really look sad, she gives them some more money, and if they start looking really happy, she takes some back. So I always thought that was a good idea on tipping. I would never take money back, but I thought it was cute. So let's talk to BJ Traveler. Munchkin, you've known him for a while. Why don't you tell us who he is?
BJ Traveler is a blackjack player who's traveled all over the world. His goal is to play in 100 casinos around the—I mean, 100 countries around the world. And so far, he's up to 76. I did a print interview with him many years ago, which you can read at richardmunchkin.com. And now he's broadened his horizons beyond just playing blackjack. So, BJ Traveler, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you.
So, go ahead, Bob. You start.
All right. Let's talk about Singapore and Michael Shackelford. So, there is a game you played in Singapore called the 89 Bet or something. So, tell us about that.
Power Baccarat.
Power Baccarat, yes. Or Power 89. Yeah. What was that bet all alike?
Yeah, you can bet on next hand Natural 9 or Natural 8 on banker side and the player side and pay the 10 to 1.
All right. Now, if Michael Shackelford, when he was working at the Venetian at the time as a table game consultant, if he thought this was a game with a 6% house edge or some such number, how were you able to beat it?
Well, interesting is that, well, first, of course, you can count the cards because that you just count how many 8 and 9 left. And there, when there are more 8 and 9 left, there are more natural for natural 9 and natural 8. So that's one way. And the other way is that there are 30 tables, so they expose the bottom card. So if you see an 8 or 9, it's a very good chance that you can see many 8 and 9s among 30 tables. Then you cut maybe you can cut one deck or even four decks on the middle, and then you count how many cards. So then you know that the next hand or next two hands A and 9 are coming. Then you bet on the 8 and 9 because that if you see a 9, then you cut one deck. Then after 50 cards, then you start betting on the natural 9 on banker and player side. And because you know a 9 is coming, and it's very possible that the 9 will be coming withdrawing with another 10, which is a very, very good chance. So the EV for that bet is 150%, and the maximum is 10,000 Singapore dollars, which means that we made $500,000 in one night.
How much is 10,000 Singapore dollars?
I think it's about 8,000 US dollars.
8,000 US.
Yeah.
And so they're...
And it pays 10 to 1.
Yes.
That's not a bad bet.
And 150% EV. Yeah.
And so even if you're going to try to cut about a deck, which is a 52 cards.
Yes, yes.
So how close to 52 cards do you actually have to cut? In other words, if you're not really good and you only cut to somewhere between 47 and 55.
Yeah. Because if you miss it, I mean, if you cut play earlier, that you are going to lose 20% on the... You bet it, you bet both sides, you lose 20% on 10% on banker side playing, banker nature, player nature. But if you miss one or two, you are losing about 40%. But then you catch a car, you get 150%. So you need not to be so accurate.
Right, because you're betting it to land in either spot. And if it doesn't come out this round, well, you just bet it again next round. Eventually, it's got to come out.
Yeah, and hopefully it comes out with a 10 card.
But I don't know if Mike Shackelford was involved in consulting for the casinos. I don't know what his job was actually when he was consulting for Venetian. So, but in either case, we'll be happy to tease him about your win.
Interesting. The game lasts for half a year, but of course they reduced the maximum to 1,000, but which is still playable.
So it lasted for 6 months.
Yeah. But I mean, for the 10,000 lasts for only 1 week.
Uh huh. And what were you able to take off that bet in 6 months?
Well, many teams play that game, so I don't know the total. I would say maybe $1 or $2 million at least.
Wow. Okay.
It's a good month's work. In the past, you in traveling to these 76 countries, you were always a card counter. You were always looking for blackjack games to count cards. The first thing I want to ask you about is U.S. players tend to think that the best blackjack games are here in the U.S. True?
No. I mean, of course, it depends on the scale. I mean, that if you want to play big scale, then the foreign games are smaller. $200 maximum, $50 maximums. But the rules, in most cases, in U.S. you have whole card. In other countries, mostly they don't have whole card, so they have early surrender versus late surrender here. And you know, some countries even have a full early surrender against ace. So that's a positive of the top games. I would say that, to my knowledge, it's still maybe 5-6 countries in the world they have this full early surrender right now. Yeah, so we can still see a positive of the top. And this year I played in a country, it's kind of like Neverthorpe Land. It's
Neverthorpe Land. Yeah, so, in other words, they've never heard of Thorpe or maybe, card counting.
It's a four decks.
Ed Thorpe wrote Beat the Dealer 50-some years ago, which is an introduction to the public in card counting. So they've never heard of Ed Thorpe in...
Maybe that. We can bet the minimum $1, then we spread to $7 maximum, and playing against four decks, cut one deck off. Yeah, so it's just playing that for several days. Yeah.
Even I could beat that game.
And what did they think when they saw you spreading like that? Did they just think you're crazy? Or?
Yeah, I think they just think I'm crazy.
Crazy after, Chinaman.
After 3-4 days, they don't think so crazy. Then they start, they just bar me. They don't know. I mean, they don't know what happened. They just say, okay, don't play.
But so now you're really trying, you've broadened your horizons. You're not going after the card counting game so much. So talk about that, your progression into other things.
Yeah, I was invited into the games. Then so happened that there's some friends, they observed they observed a guy that won 30 million in 5 years. And then so they follow him and see what he was doing. And then they found out what he was doing. And then we started a team to work on the same scheme. And last year, we killed the game because that guy is doing with 5-6 people so for five, six years, and took 30 million. But for us, we used 200 people, so we burned the game in half a year, so we took only $5 million.
You brought 200 people to this is a particular country to one casino.
Yeah, particular country, America.
To one casino, all Asian.
Well, mostly Asian, yes.
But
yes.
There were some others. Okay, interesting.
And this was what? This certainly wasn't counting cards.
No. This was in fact, they gave too much rebate, and they are now watching the betting very. This is a baccarat. So baccarat, you don't bet every hand. So for this casinos, they count. If you're not betting every hand, you bet maybe about say one in four hands, it still qualify you as betting every hand.
I see.
So what they maybe their people, there's an intention is that if you bet every hand, then the casino will make up money $20,000 a person. But if you're not betting every many hands, then the casino in fact is making only $5,000, but they rebate $14,000.
So they're giving you not a loss rebate, but a percentage of your action.
Also a loss rebate. If you
and
lose.
A loss rebate yes. On top of it.
Yes.
Nice.
200 people, and he couldn't even find my phone number. Now, Macau is sort of near Singapore. At least if you live in Las Vegas, it sounds like they're close to each other. Do you ever play in Macau? Are there good games there?
Yes. And after many years traveling, so of course, I have get the same conclusion. In fact, I've been told many times by American players saying that foreign countries are too small, etc. But in the end, I will say that after many years, I will agree with that because that most money are made from Macau, Singapore, and Las Vegas because the game are bigger, the tolerance are bigger. So we play a lot in Macau, and I think with the spread of baccarat and more casinos, they offer baccarat games. In the same time, casinos they are greedy, so they put many side bets on the baccarat, new side bets. And those side bets, I think they are not studied very thoroughly. So many side bets, you can count on the side bet. So we play on one of the side bets at Macau, and in half a year we took about $1 million and on the game, and then they killed. I mean that they well for that we need good penetration, so they just make the penetration worse, so to stop the
just
game.
Just like blackjack.
Yeah, and also that we have played a good rebate game. There we get 15% loss rebate on Macau. So playing blackjack and baccarat. So first we playing blackjack to qualify for the rebate. Then after that we go to play baccarat. We also did that in other countries with same affiliations, casinos, and the program also that is very good. And we are very lucky because that, in that country, we play blackjack to qualify, which we have only -0.1% on the blackjack play. Then after we finish, $1.5 million betting on that, so we're paying about $1,500. For the privilege of going to bet $150,000. And I think $150 for the privilege of going to bet $150,000 on the baccarat game. And what happened is that we was very lucky because we have 10 players and we went to bet one hand $150,000 on the baccarat, and all 10 players, they all win.
Oh, dear. Casinos might notice that.
That's the best way to play a loss rebate, is to just win. And then the casino doesn't have to give you any rebate at all.
Yeah, for 50%, you know, that's the edge is 6.5% on the $150,000 bet.
Sure. So you're making one bet of $150,000 and they're giving you a 15% loss rebate that one bet. I'd love to do that all day
long. And that's only last year. That's interesting because after so many years.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I constantly hear, you know, that the games are dying. Blackjack is dying. And you're talking about just last year, you found a game where they had no idea about card counting, where you could spread from minimum to maximum, that you're still finding places where there's positive off-the-top games. So blackjack is far from dead.
He was playing it in Zambia. Now Zambia is a little bit off the beaten path for most of our listeners.
Well, Victoria Park, Victoria Falls is very beautiful. We went from Zambia to see this fall.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great tourist place anyway. It'd be a great place to visit, and this way you can pay for your vacation.
Yeah. Even in Egypt, they have full early surrender, but they respond very fast. But it's a nice way to see the pyramid.
Right, but now, historically, Egypt was a place where they would steal your money at the border when you were trying to leave. Is that still a problem?
Immigration people,
would say you needed some documents in order to take money out of the country. I know several people this happened to, but this was back 20, 25 years ago. I don't know if it's still that bad.
Well, you have to declare money, usually more than $10,000 you bring in all the countries. And what we're trying to do is we spread the money. If we have a team, we spread the money so that we don't have to declare.
I see. Now, have you had money stolen from you in various countries? I'm not talking about by teammates. I'm talking about where the, you know, either the government or the casino or...
Yeah. Many times I've been robbed in the gunpoint and even in the local airport. When I was, my people went through the Venetian's local airport and the security found the money and they just took my people to the security guard office and they have military people and police, 7 people. Then they just took 60% of the money.
What country was that?
Venezuela.
Venezuela.
Yeah, and it's a local airport. It's not even an international airport. So we just took a local flight. And then, of course, we've been robbed at Colombia. That's my fault. But anyway, I won more than 10 times on the money I robbed at Colombia. So that's kind of
so tax. You just looked at it as a tax. 10% got robbed, you're still okay.
Yeah. And in Colombia, the requirement is that you cannot take in or out $10,000, even you declare. So 3 of us went to the country without knowing the new regulations. So we brought $70,000, and $40,000 was confiscated. We declared the money, but the $40,000 was confiscated as a custom. And then they say that they were charged 20% tax on that, even that we declared and we're coming into the country. And we try to say that we are not going into there. But kind of forced to because no flight that day, and then in the end we negotiate through my friend with the custom, and they say okay, you can file for not to be taxed, but you still have to pay the 20% as a bribe. The difference is that you pay the bribe, you get money faster. So in the end we pay the bribe, but I was kind of not happy with that. I think that 20% tax, we should not pay 20% for bribe. So what happened is that
you think 15% for a bribe is enough?
Maybe 10%. I mean that. So what happened was that my friend who is an intermediary with custom, so he accompanied me to central bank to get the money, $40,000, but I need to pay the bribe in local money. So we brought the $40,000 with me to my hotel to change for local money. So when he parked his car, I took the money. I just ran away. And he was following me he was 6 feet tall and I was fat. So after 7 minutes, I rest. And he said, he came to me. He said that you don't have to run. If you don't want to pay, you don't need to pay. But in that case, I couldn't guarantee your safety or of your money and your life.
Oh, but you don't have. Here's
so
an
you
option.
Decided to pay.
Now apparently Jack Benny would have had a problem with that, but you didn't. All right.
What? So have you ever thought about using traveler's checks instead of carrying all that cash?
Well, many countries the traveler check they don't accept it. I mean,
oh, really?
Even in Europe, like Western Europe, like in Brazil, Belgium. Okay, even in those. Very civilized countries. Sometimes you have difficulty catching a traveler check. They allow you maybe only $1,000 like that.
Even in the casino, usually the casino will take the traveler's check. Yeah.
So I was surprised that even in Western Europe they are not so behind on the banking system. I don't know why.
Wow.
Yeah. So in most cases, out of America, we just use cash.
Now you've. Your goal was to be 100 countries. You're up to 76.
Yes.
Do you have, that's 24 to go. Do you have particular ones on your bucket list that you're going to hit these?
Yeah, of course. I'm trying to identify the casino countries with good, many casinos like Argentina. And I'm holding Taiwan passport, so I have difficulty in getting visa for that. So some countries still have visa problems. So. And they have many good casinos. So I'm trying to go to those countries.
So are you really interested in the casinos or the tango and the beef in Argentina?
At Argentina, yes. Yes.
And so good. So that's one. You still got 23 more countries to make it up to 100. Are there any others that are on your list?
Well, near Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, there are three countries together. So I want to go there. And also some remote islands like Fiji, Tahiti, and those Pacific islands. It's more difficult to
go. I'd like to go to Fiji and Tahiti. Even, first of all, I didn't know they had casinos there, but now that I know, I'm more likely to go.
Yeah, after counting for 20 years, counting is really boring for me. It's a job. But so what I'm doing is that I'm trying to change the environment, go to different countries to make counting work not so boring.
So now tell us about moving beyond counting. You started moving away from counting and into other things. So you had a story about playing a hole card?
Yeah. And that's mostly foreign countries don't have hole cards, but in America, there are many hole cards games. So I was invited into a game to play hole cards. And the interesting story is that I was betting $2, $5,000 on a shoe game. In a shoe game, you don't... It's really that most hole card is a handheld game, but for shoe game we found very good dealers for the exposing the hole card, and two stories. Okay, one was that we have a very experienced hole card readers, and then she was reading the hole card, and after a while she gave up. She said that it's too difficult. Then the captain of the team he was a student of the master. And of the girl, and he went to the table to the seat to read whole cards, and then we won $50,000. After finish the game, I asked the student. I said, "Why you could read better than your master, your teachers?" He said that some people they find excuses not to read the card, so that if the card is not so easy to read, so they need not to take the responsibility. But he's the kind of person that. He have to do it, so in the end he could. And what interesting story is that we bet $2, $5,000 on the game on the whole card. I as a big player signaled by eyes, the whole card readers. So I bet $2, $5,000, and then the captain texts me saying that don't exceed $100,000 in one session. So I was winning $20,000. I say, well, still a lot from $100,000. But then I won 91,000. So I say, okay, let's reduce it in case
so
I
can. You're now up to 111,000.
No, he's no, at 91.
91,000.
And he's
so 91. I bet 2 bucks. So I reduced to $2 for 4,000.
So even if you want them both, you'd be at 99,000.
Yeah, yeah. But then I got the A7 and I doubled down on the A7.
The so, nerve of you.
So I see that.
So now you're at 103,000.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And then another text saying that lose $5,000 back. And then, so I went to back of the table and lose 5,000. And then, what's interesting is that there's my also one of the teammates, he was known for not tipping, never tipping, and he said that what you should do is that you should store up and tip $5,000.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, actually, Bob and I both know that friend who is known for not tipping, and I'm sure he gagged when he said that you should have tipped the $5,000 away.
No, but. I don't think so. This person is known for not personally tipping. He might not be known for not recommending that BJ not tip. That might be different.
Well, he said Detroit when he was nominated on the Blackjack, person, I mean,
on the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
He's and then, in there.
Quote for him is that tipping is a Chinese tongue he never heard of.
tipping is a Chinese tongue he's never heard of. Good. All right. Now, you started out as a card counter, and then when you said you ran 200 people through, that implies a lot of administrative skills and recruiting people and training, and that's a whole lot different than card counting.
Well, it's, if you are doing that 200 people on the bakery, it's not so difficult. Bakery, you just bet him blindly. You just say, okay, betting every four hands.
Then but it's still it's a management type job as opposed to, a card counting type job.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, integrity is most important. People, there's two possibilities. One is that people stealing the from money, okay, which is very big. And the other is that people stealing from the money. Chips in front of them, so we have to watch them closely. But luckily that the EV is good, and so I think we were stealing about half to $1 million. But luckily that, and among 200 people we are using, only one people took the front money away, but that guy returned the money after 1 year.
What did you do to encourage him to return the money?
Well, he's kind of in desperate need money. So he said that he wants to borrow the money, but he forced the team to borrow the money to him. He has 81,000 chips in front of him and said he said he needs $30,000. So he borrowed $30,000 and then he left IOU for the team to collect for him. Now then 1 year later, he returned the money.
But he did pay it back. Well, that's good. But getting to your point about the administrative task, you did have a business degree before you got into gambling, right?
Yes, I have an MBA from University of Chicago. And my earlier years, I was a stockbroker. And I went broke after brokerage year. For 13 years, I was played as a stock. I mean, I gambled too much on the stock market. So then I switched to Advantage Play, and then
much easier to identify your edge in a casino than
yes,
in the stock market.
Yes.
All right, very good. I lost my train of thought. Now on loopholes. Now you exploit a lot of loopholes on side bets or other places. And when the casinos find the loopholes, they close them or close you out.
I think they do both. Sometimes one of the interesting stories that in San Singapore and my friend they try and see the three car poker they have exposed one card. So what you need is you have to be short or you want to be sit lower. So he just had a wheelchair. And wheelchair his friend into the casinos, and then of course they made some money. Then after they made some money, and the casinos they got suspicious, so they cash out, and my friend will push his friend out of the casino, went to the shopping center, and then the security people follow them out to see what happened. So after a while, they decide that the people who sat in the wheelchair he just stood up and ran away. And what happened is that my friend, he was very stubborn people. So after several days, he went into the casino after this incident. So casino sending announced him as a blacklist. Okay, then sent giving a blacklist notice, and then 2 months, 1 month later, he went again into the casino. Even he was blacklist, and then the casino now sent us called the police and then sent him to the jail for 1 night. And then he wanted to protest because that he got the invitation from marketing department of the casino, invite him to the casino. So he claimed that he thought blacklist was off, okay. But the lawyers advised him because it took several months for his case, and so he just said advised him to admitted. Then he explained to the judge he was not he was an adventure play, not doing anything. Stealing, cheating, etc. So finally, he got a fine of $500.
Which is nothing. $400.
Yeah, which is nothing. Yeah.
Carnival games like three card poker, and those are now spreading to Singapore and Macau too.
Yes.
How much is the? How much can you bet on those games?
But maybe just about $1,000, $2,000. Yeah.
$1,000 or $2,000.
Yeah, still good.
Do you think those games are they popular over there? Do you think they'll get more of them, or are they just mostly focused on Baccarat?
Yeah, focused on Baccarat. Those games, as I said, some people following Americans' experience, then seeing the exposed cards, and so kind of burn the game. It's not so good now.
They get burned too quickly.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Now, in playing in Macau, then since you were born in Taiwan, you fit right in there where Richard and I don't look like we were born in Taiwan. But in playing in Zambia, which is in Africa, is being a Chinese more advantageous than being an American? Or
Yeah. In Africa, a lot of Chinese.
Yeah, I think having a U.S. passport is the worst that you can have, you know, when you travel. Even being Canadian would help, I think.
When you travel for casino gambling.
As an advantage player. Anywhere in the world. You know, I think...
I will agree with that. Yeah.
And actually, do you think there are more... My impression, and maybe I'm wrong, is that there are more advantage players in the Asian casinos than in the American casinos. It seems like there are a lot of people taking advantage of games.
Once I played at a casino in Korea, which is must be one of the world's most best place to play because it's like a no-top land for 3 years. And we can bet $100, then $9,000. Okay,
wow.
So in 1 weekend, I counted 200 counters in one casino in 1 weekend.
Wow. How long did that last before they...
That game lasts for about 3 years.
3 years? Yes. With 200 counters in there?
I know. I mean, once I counted 200 counters.
Oh.
In the end.
Near the end.
People, of course, increase more and more counters knowing the place.
You know, I first went to Korea in 86. And at that time, they knew about card counting, but there was some kind of unwritten rule that if you never bet more than $200... they would let you play. And there were these guys that would come in the morning and you could eat at the table. So they would order their breakfast and sit there 8-10 hours a day, spreading basically $10 to two hands of 200. And one day I went in and I counted 40 guys like that. Now we were there betting a lot more, you know, I counted 40 guys that were doing that. And, you know, I called my team and I said, this is not going to last. They're just not going to put up with this anymore. And, you know, and sure enough, a couple of weeks later, they came in and just barred everybody. You know, fortunately, they didn't get us. We were using Japanese big players, so, you know, we lasted quite a long time.
That was before the government opened, before government opened casinos themselves.
Oh, in Korea.
Yeah, in
Seoul?
Korea. Yeah, in Seoul. So there are two government casinos in Seoul, and I mean you are talking about Walker Hill, which
Walker
is
Hill,
yeah, private, and then the government opened two casinos to compete with Walker Hill, and the government was very polite. very tolerant. So we're not talking about $10 to $400. We're talking about $100 to $9,000.
Yeah. Well, at the time that we were there, the maximum was $3,000. So our big players could basically spread. I think we were playing at a $100 minimum table. Yeah. What it was an advantage off the top game.
Yeah. What's interesting on what happened to work here is that in 2005, they gave a very good rebate program. If you go to, you just bought by $30,000 junket chip playing on Baccarat, then they give you $2,300 rebate. And also two night rooms. So one of my friend, he went to Baccarat 120 times. Each time they take him 15 people, he took $3 million from one casino in a year.
Wow.
You'd think the casinos would notice a pattern.
Well, yeah, actually, that brings up a really good point.
We got about 2 minutes to go through this point.
Okay, but it just seems like in Asia, these return on rollover and rebates have been going on for years, and they've been getting massacred for years. You would think, is it just because of the competition? They keep offering it to keep people from going to the casino next door?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, that Asia has been quite polite. Yeah, so even one of the casinos in Malaysia, Genting, they know who I am. They know I'm BJT, but they still allow me to play. So I was not very polite because I brought TV people, camera, into the casino then the shoot a program, TV program.
Without getting permission ahead of time?
Yeah. Then I was blacklisted because of that, not because
I
was
think you deserved card. It.
I deserve that. So I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you, BJ Traveler. We have lots more questions for you, which means you're going to have to come back and visit us again. This was very interesting.
Thank you.
Munchkin, what did we learn tonight?
We learned the best blackjack games are not in the United States, that there's money to be made all around the world.
And there's good games in Fiji.
You have to pay a tax on a bribe on a tax in Colombia.
And 20% is too much of a bribe.
Right.
10% is okay, but 20% is too much of a bribe.
And actually, the thing that really shocks me, that I'm really amazed by, is that they don't take traveler's checks, you know, in first world countries, you know.
Would they take BJ traveler's checks?
Yeah.
All right. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. That's more than anyone else. Every Monday in July, plus today, July 4th, the South Point is offering double points on video poker and point multipliers on slots as well. Promotions go midnight to midnight. There are no limits and no machines are excluded. All month long, the casino is holding a $600,000 Money Madness promotion. Progressives begin at $10,000 and must hit by $25,000. All players in the casino actively playing with a slot card in place are eligible to win. If you are playing when the jackpot hits, you receive $20 in free play. And then the progressive starts over again at 10,000 and keeps going until it's hit. It will do that all month long. Also, every day at 10 a.m., there's a $1,000 progressive that goes once and must hit before 25. So if you're playing after 10 a.m., you're actually eligible for both progressives. At the Palms, there are drawings at 8 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, and on those two nights, also between 8 p.m. and midnight, you receive 5 times drawing entries for those drawings. PEW, Play, Earn, and Win, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, for the first half of the month, are mostly cleaning supplies like paper towels, Tide detergent pods, toilet paper, etc. The top two gifts are a 32-inch television and a Sonicare toothbrush system. So I can see where Sonicare toothbrush deals with cleaning, but I don't know what a television set does with cleaning. But anyway, you may redeem your points earned Monday as late as Friday. As always in the PEWs, you keep your points. On the Video Poker for Winners website, they have monthly drawings at the end of every month. So they don't announce them this early in the month, but they also have daily contest. And if I said drawings, I meant contests. So Thursday, July 4th, The contest is Wheel Poker. On Friday, there's Ultimate Four of a Kind Bonus. Saturday is Super Triple Play. So every day is a different game. You play for free, and the winner gets some prizes. It also introduces you to some of these games that you might not be familiar with. For some people, if you ask them what was Ultimate Four of a Kind Bonus, they might not be able to define it well off of the top of their head. But on that website, you can play it for free until you can get a good idea what the games are. All right, Richard, you're actually in town this week. Sometimes you call in. And you're going to go to the World Series.
Yes, I'm going to go trolling at the World Series and look for guests that have been dodging me, that haven't been answering my emails. I think a lot of these poker players never look at their email. But so, yeah, I'm going to go over there and try to rope some guests.
And very possibly one of those guests will be on the air next week or the next 2 weeks or next 3 weeks.
That is my hope. So next week, I did talk to Bob Nersessian this week, and he's available if I don't rope in a poker player. I'd like to get a poker player while, you know, with the World Series going on right now. So
having gaming lawyer Bob Nersessian, what the games are. All right, Richard, you're actually in town this week. Sometimes you call in. And you're going to go to the World Series.
Yes, I'm going to go trolling at the World Series and look for guests that have been dodging me, that haven't been answering my emails. I think a lot of these poker players never look at their email. But so, yeah, I'm going to go over there and try to rope some guests.
And very possibly one of those guests will be on the air next week or the next 2 weeks or next 3 weeks.
That is my hope. Next week, I did talk to Bob Nersessian this week, and he's available if I don't rope in a poker player. I'd like to get a poker player while, you know, with the World Series going on right now. So
having gaming lawyer Bob Nersessian as a backup plan is not a terrible position to be in.
True. And you know, I had talked to him about the Revel promo. You know, that's why I was calling him at the time. And you know, he did say that, you know, if the Revel information was in writing, which it was, and you lost the money, and they then refused to pay you, you would have a lawsuit. But part of my calculations in not playing was, I said, but that means my $100,000 could be tied up for 3 or 4 years. And he was like, yes, it does.
and of which 80,000 are paid to him.
Yeah, right. And you know,
which
actually
might be more of a problem for you than it is for him.
True. And one of the things I wanted to mention too that I forgot before is, how many times have you checked with the casino on the amount of money that you won or lost, and their records are way different than what your records show?
Frequently.
So, you know, what's to prevent Revel from saying, you know, you lose $100,000, and they say, yep, we've got you down for $37,500.
Okay. On slot and video poker software that is modern, and the Revel was built a year and a half ago, they have new stuff. The systems are pretty good, so we're not really going to have that problem. It used to be where there were things like called card pulling, where you could make it seem like you had different amount of loss than you actually did. But current software in slots and video poker is accurate. Now, on table games, where there's a lot more funny things you can do on table games.
Well, but the Revel promo didn't apply to table games.
Did not apply to table games. So I would not think that would be a problem. Or
if I were playing it, I would definitely be checking with the desk after every single play to make sure that, and what is your recourse if they do have it wrong?
In most casinos in Vegas, if your records are different than theirs, they will work with you to try to reconcile the difference. Like the Gold Coast has notoriously inaccurate point system. And so there's always discrepancies there. And if you show that you have regular records, they will frequently take your word for it, or will go back and research it. I'm not sure what the Revel is going to do. They have not started this promotion out with a bang.
No.
I was thinking they would be a little... They wanted to make a big splash there, and they would actually be taking the worst of it and be gracious about this promotion, and they want to show everybody this is a great place to play. Come back. We win. We like your business. Instead, they're becoming Nazis, apparently, right from the get-go.
Yeah, that's my understanding, too. And it also seems pretty clear. I mean, the promotional material made it sound like they were courting big action, but it seems very clear that they really do not want big action.
Well, not big video poker action. They still have some large denomination slots there. So it is all right if you want to play $200 or $300 on a slot machine per pull. And assuming it's still above the 85% state minimum or whatever that minimum is in New Jersey, it's still a heck of a promotion.
Yeah, if you get paid.
If you get paid. All right, so we got about 3 minutes to go. So one more question for BJ Traveler. Munchkin, what question did you have in reserve?
Okay, so what story are you not telling us? You must have some great story about either getting robbed at gunpoint. You said you got robbed at gunpoint. Where was that?
Yeah, at Colombia.
Everything happens in Colombia. Seems like that might be the one country
my
to
my
leave
fault,
off.
My fault.
Oh, it was your fault?
No, I mean that my fault to go to Colombia. Anyway, we are living at between two casinos. The hotel is between two casinos because the country is dangerous. I want to near the hotel casinos. So I kept my money in the casino safe because in the hotel safe because there's no safety box at my room. So after a while, then we took our money from the hotel safe, and then we counted the money, and we lost maybe they steal about $500. So we have $100 bills for $10,000, and then become 99 or 98. So we know that the hotel was clerk was stealing money, so we complained to the hotel. But that's the first time we were not so alert. And we complain, of course, hotel deny, and then we think we are lucky because they didn't steal all the $50,000. They still just took $500. And then when I need to go to it's a Christian holiday, so I need to go to America for a TV interview, and then I left my girlfriend to change the money because a holiday we couldn't change the money. So after my girlfriend changed money, then he went to took a taxi in front of the hotel to the airport, which is on the mountain side. So on the halfway, there's a motorcycle with two people, one people with a gun, then to stop the taxi. Then another motorcycle came in, and then on the back, okay. So they took everything from her, and including $30,000. And then she asked for the passport back, but she was hit by the gun point. And then they took the money. Then he reported to the police. And the taxi was also stolen car. So the taxi was waiting for her outside the hotel.
Wow.
So it must be the hotel clerk, I mean, doing all this. But of course, for Colombian policemen, they don't care.
They probably were in on it. I mean,
yes. Oh.
Very interesting. So.
Are you planning to go to Colombia anytime soon, Bob?
Not until BJ makes another trip there, which might not be soon either. Very good. So thank you, Richard. Thank you, Munchkin. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes tonight. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.